Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me live in studio here at WGN Radio is Matthew Luzzatto, the partner at Kelly. You're the partner, in my opinion, at Kelly Dry Warren. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Of course, Happy New Year to you and everybody else on here. We did a kind of a random recap last week that was all over the place, but fun. We had tons of people calling in. Hopefully, you continue to call in. The number is 312-981-7200. We're back to our usual bag of tricks here, the Startup Showcase. Matt and I are going to catch up a little bit on things we're interested in, looking forward to in 2018. And then we're going to have two startup companies, call in and pitch to us live on the air. We are going to give them 3 minutes. I'll give them a couple 30 seconds after, maybe, if they run over. And then we'll give a little Q&A. And then at the end of the show, we're going to try to figure out which one I or we or both of us or just you, somebody or you out there listening, can invest in these companies. So we're going to pick one to invest in. I will post to our Technori page on Facebook the links to each of these companies so you can sort of read up on them. And before you do, make sure to go to republic.co/register, and you can sign up really easily, LinkedIn, Facebook profile, hook up your bank account and spend your life away as we go unicorn hunting. Is it hunting, Matt, or is it shopping? What's the best way?
I think I'm comfortable with the unicorn hunting, you know, because if somebody still believes in unicorns, I really don't care if they're upset.
I actually thought about this yesterday because I've been saying unicorn hunting. All of our marketing materials say unicorn hunting, and then for some reason yesterday I must be a millennial like at heart, even though I can't stop myself. It just dawned on me, like, hunting Eric Trump, and I just like backed off of it and started calling it shopping.
Yeah, but we're not really bagging trophies here. I mean,
we hope to
find some successful companies out here in the.
I hope to bag some stock, man. I don't know. What,
yeah, right.
I'm bagging something.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, these guys are hoping to bag our money. So the main play here, and it's very interesting, and I'm glad that you came on the show. This is the first time you've been able to be on the show in this format. You've been on before, obviously, but this is fun to me. Maybe I'm just a nerd, but I get more into this than I do like fan. This is fantasy football for me. Like, I like to look at these companies and be like, founder, success, industry, are other people going to do this regardless? Is this something that's a real deal? Like, I enjoy it.
Oh, I have learned more about oil pipelines in the past 24 hours than I think I've ever known.
Well, that's Microtech that you're alluding to, who's going to be coming in this, is going to be calling in here very shortly. So without further ado, though, I want to kind of jump in with you a little bit. Give us, you know, what are some of the things that you can give a little background on yourself and you know, who you are, your favorite food. You can explain why you're not wearing your cowboy hat live in studio and a few other things.
So, my favorite food is Italian. We'll just start out with that.
How specific?
But I actually...
Northeastern Italian or just Italian? Or
I'm all Italian. Like Southern Italian.
Okay.
Anything with the tomato sauce to it?
Well, yeah.
It was a club.
Does pizza count?
In Bucktown the other night.
Oh, nice.
Pizza counts. Pizza counts for a lot of different foods, though. I mean, that could be even Southwest if you put some chicken in.
Well, we had buffalo chicken and blue cheese pizza that we home cooked Jen and I last night, so that was...
You make me hungry, man.
It's we have dinner later tonight, so don't worry about it. Sorry I interrupted you. Continue.
No, I was going to say, just real quick background on me. Lawyer here in Chicago. Advise startups. I advise financial institutions. But... here on this show, I just like to kick back and talk about some of the startups that are going to be coming on the program today. Some of the hot topics in the news right now, and I'll just put it out there that if anything I say sounds like legal advice,
it is not.
It is not. Give it the same weight you would anything you hear on Judge Judy. This is, let's say, this is the people's court for startups.
I actually learned, you know, quite a bit about law from Judge Judy, as you could probably tell from my emails with all of the documents I sent you.
I learned a lot of law from Law and Order.
Well, I just learned how to behave and, you know, certain things that are acceptable at parties and certain things that are not.
Right, exactly.
That was the purpose there. What are some of the things that you're excited about? I know that you spend a lot of time, and I'm going to try to keep this as layman's as possible, but and try to speak to the people here a little bit. But ACH payments is something that you're into.
Yep.
Security in particular is something you're into, and everybody, it seems like, is into the crypto, crowdfunding, crowd equity, coin, token, Bitcoin madness, Ripple craze. And so we've got a lot of calls last week on that one. I've got a lot of emails on that one. I think that this is a great time for you and I to kind of share some of the concerns and also some of the hopes maybe we have in the crossover of of crypto and security and the future of payments, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most exciting things, I mean, last week was a big week for this, you know, stuff that's hot in the news, right? I mean, we were just listening to on the Wintrust business lunch. They were talking about medical marijuana. You know, Sessions has repealed.
Semi though, like he repealed it. It was like a repeal ish. It was, I mean, it was all in my opinion. I mean, this is apolitical, but I'm real political. I'm not happy with what he did, but I expected it to be more firm handed. I expected it to be like the end of days.
They're not doing anything proactive. He just said, go back to executing. You know, your
back
prosecutorial
to
discretion. Is the word for it. And we're going to state layman's terms. It is basically going to be up to every U.S. attorney out there. You know, and depending on whether it's Southern District of New York or the District of Colorado, to make their own decisions on how they're going to enforce marijuana laws.
And given the makeup of most major cities and most major states, I can't imagine how that's going to turn into a prosecuting nightmare.
I don't think so. I think that the effect that it's going to have is that some of the larger financial institutions in the U.S. that have maybe been looking into getting, you know, banking some marijuana businesses are going to take a step backwards.
Okay.
Because they're seeing the risk increasing slightly.
Yeah.
And as they're sort of balancing the risk-reward, they're going to say, well, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe not this administration. Maybe not now.
Well, I can see, I think is a great step into. We only have about a minute here, but we'll come back and keep talking kind of throughout the show. But that it's a great segue into the crypto thing too, because you've started to see almost the opposite effect. So everyone jumped into cannabis. I was getting calls from every business that's somehow trying to get involved in cannabis, and now this happens. And you look at crypto, everybody did not jump in at first. They all just sort of wait in the watch, and you've got Jamie Dimon and Chase saying no good, and Feast is now pulled out a little bit. It seems like that one people are taking more of a slower approach. What do you see as the litigious direction we're going with crypto?
Yeah, with crypto, I think, and actually there's an intersection there, because there's some companies out there that are looking to help, you know, get banking services for marijuana businesses using cryptocurrency. And I think that's what this recent political development's going to open up the door for them a little bit to get in there. I think that there's going to be, you know, looking at crypto itself, you're going to have a lot more regulation around ICOs. I mean, there's been warnings.
I hope so. We need that. I mean, I'm a big fan of of making retail investors out of everybody like we are on this show. And ICO is great. It's a great form. We'll have some companies on the show that ICO. But I do think it's a challenge. So we're going to come back to that. We're going to have a pitch after this. And then Matt and I are going to pick up this conversation, I think, in the second half of the show a little bit. But we will be back. I'm Scott Catoon. This is Matt Luzzatto. You're listening to WGN Radio AM 720. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. You're listening to WGN AM 720 with my good friend, Matt Luzzatto, partner from Keller Dry Warren.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Pretty good. Do you see you just got demoted there? You were the partner, the original. You were the partner at Kelly Dry. Now you're just a partner.
Well, given what transacted during the break.
You have 45 minutes to redeem yourself. It's fine.
I've got an uphill battle here.
I think it's a pretty easy battle. We're going to go ahead. I just posted live on Facebook. So if you want to like us on Facebook, at TechNori, on Facebook and Twitter at TechNori, you can go ahead and follow along. If you have questions, feel free to comment there. If you want to call in, the phone number is 312-981-7200. We are going to have Mead Lewis, the founder of Microtech, right now calling in on the show. She's got 3 minutes to pitch. He has got 3 minutes to pitch the show, or I'm sorry, to pitch his startup company for us to choose whether or not we want to put some money in. You all can invest for as little as $10. You just go to republic.co/register and get yourself in there right now. So without further ado, Mead, welcome to the show.
Hey there. How are you today?
I am doing well. Where are you calling from?
Actually, State College, Pennsylvania. We're actually in the single digits, so I'm kind of jealous of your double digit temperatures.
Are we double? It doesn't, I mean, it's warm in the studio right now, but I don't think it's double digits. Is it double digits, Matt, here?
I don't know. It feels like it's double digits. Okay. I mean, it's sunny outside.
I parked outside, but I walked under. So it's 13. According to our producer, it is 13 degrees. So we just made the double digits. But what we're focused on here, Mead, is getting double digit investments for you. So what I'm going to do is give you 3 minutes to pitch Microtech. To give you kind of parameters, you'll be able to explain how to invest in that stuff. So don't worry about that part. We want to understand what Microtech does and how the people out there listening can get involved and make this be a real thing. So not that it's not a real thing, but make it their thing. So without further ado, I'm timing you right now. You have 3 minutes. Ready, set, go.
All right. So in one sentence, Microtech is where Internet of Things and artificial intelligence meets pipelines. So to define those things, Internet of Things is the interconnection with the Internet and computing devices. And normally these are embedded in everyday objects. We're actually changing this and embedding these IoT devices into pipelines. Artificial intelligence is the development of computer systems to perform tasks that normally require human intelligence. And with this, our mission is to be proactive rather than reactive. So the problem is that the average pipeline company hosts 93 leaks, and they spend about $200,000 every year on to fix these 93 leaks. And so this leads to $30 billion of losses industry-wide. So long story short, leaks equal money, and the environment is the victim. So our solution set has three major components. And what it is we have an all-in-one device, and that's the IoT device, six factors of data analysis that then transmits that data wirelessly, and then it's analyzed with artificial intelligence. And so we monitor the critical variables for pipeline longevity, and our AI is able to predict these pipeline leaks before they happen with a projected 96% accuracy. So we're able to save the pipeline industry money while reducing leaks. So everybody wins.
And as it turns out, I watched Deepwater Horizon last night.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, not unrelated, but related.
Project. I wasted my time. I was poring over articles on pipeline leaks and, like, you know, what a smart pig is and a pig trap. There are a lot of pig references.
Meat, I'm not even kidding you. Matt was texting me before the show and yesterday and today that he came here with notes on this. So,
that's awesome. I love people who are well educated on the subject.
I like people who are well educated in general, but I particularly enjoy a conversation when Matt's involved because I know that, like, I'm usually not on my game. So I can just like hand it off to Matt. So we're going to kick it to some questions, some Q&A here. I just posted on Facebook if anyone wants to comment, you've got to go to the Facebook page. This is my business marketing and ingenuity here to make you go to Facebook on Technori. But in general, if you have questions, feel free, those audience members, to go ahead and write there. Or again, I'm going to remind you after this segment, you can call in 312-981-7200. Matt, without further ado, what is your first question for Mead?
So, you know, Mead, I think it's less of a question, more of asking for an explanation. Because I was amazed. You know, I think of oil leaks as being some giant gusher, something coming out. But can you sort of give us an example of, you know, I read about pinhole leaks and how this stuff evolves and, how your product, your service actually presents, you know, prevents it. Like, you know, give us a real world example here.
All right. So actually, pipeline leaks see a lot of threats. It's not something where, you know, you can just look at pressure, for instance, and say, okay, there was a pressure drop, therefore there's a leak, okay? So there's great statistics that we've been able to draw up about what causes leaks and, you know, how we can prevent those. And with that, we made sure to put monitoring that cases. And so it's like vibration. So what our data shows is that about 1% of leaks are caused by earthquakes and what's called earth movement. But then another 7% are caused by outside, so third-party reasons. So somebody running their car into a pipeline, right? So there's a lot of factors that play into why pipeline leaks happen. And so in watching a plethora of variables, we can actually analyze these and draw long-term conclusions. But one of the big ones, so when you're talking about pinhole leaks, most of the time that's due to corrosion-based issues. And corrosion is 80% of leaks are caused by corrosion issues. And so one of our major variables is something that no one else is doing, which is called metallic wash, which effectively we're measuring the amount of metal particles going through the pipeline, and we're able to predict corrosion rates based off of that.
So you're telling me that if there's a higher percentage of metallic particles in the oil itself, that indicates that there's some corrosion and some stuff's flaking off maybe inside the pipeline.
Exactly. You're thinking of it exactly right.
So I'm going to switch over to more of the investment opportunity question on this. What I am thinking here is, what is the real, I mean, you know, relatively real financial opportunity for those who invest in you? And I don't mean like how the investment, the crowdfunding thing works, but rather for you, like how much money do you need to raise to activate the ability to do X, Y, Z? And what would that mean to you?
Okay. So the total addressable market that we're talking about here is huge. It's an $8.72 billion market. That's pipeline monitoring. And we're aiming to get 5% of that total addressable market in 5 years. So that's $325 million. And so what we need as far as funding goes is we need to take this, the betas that we've been putting on our experimental partners' pipelines, and we need to mass produce those. So that involves patents, that involves some more research and development, and everything of the sort. And of course, marketing. We need customers.
Very cool. Very interesting. Matt, do you have any other questions specifically?
So as I understand it, this device sticks on the outside of the pipeline, right?
That's one of the critical factors, yeah.
So, and this is going to have to survive some pretty extreme environments, right? Like the North Slope of Alaska?
I actually heard that the three most difficult environments to engineer for are deep space, deep sea, and oil and gas. So, yes.
So you guys must be, you know, testing this thing pretty rigorously.
Yeah. So I was the former chief information technology officer of two oil and gas firms. So I know what this industry needs. I know what this it takes to have a successful technology set for this industry.
Well, it's great to hear that you guys have the expertise to back up what's a very important preventive measure. I mean, we're just you've been hearing about the Keystone pipeline leak, and I was just amazed at the number of smaller leaks that occur. You know, even Illinois, I don't know, there was hundreds of thousands of gallons that have been leaked into the environment.
And see, the thing is a lot of these pipeline leaks don't get media attention. A lot of them are small enough for their
good lobbying.
Internally. Yes, legally they have to report them. Okay, yeah. Legally they have to. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that it gets all the media attention. So although, we might hear about leaks every year, every pipeline company is seeing 93 on average. So this is a huge issue. Once again, $30 billion industry-wide in losses every single year that they're seeing. And so by preventing these, we're saving the environment. I have such a passion for environment. I'm an Eagle Scout. Justin, the co-founder, is an Eagle Scout. So we have such a passion for protecting the environment, but also a passion for the technology set itself. So it's all about bringing that technology into this industry that's in desperate need and benefiting both the customers of our systems, but the environment itself.
Very cool. We have to cut to a break here, but I want to give everyone the opportunity to invest in it if they want to. Where do people go right now to invest in your campaign?
Okay, so you can go to republic.co/microtech, or Microtech is spelled MIQROTECH. From there, there's a big blue button, invest in Microtech, and I would love to see your name on there.
That sounds good to me. Well, Matt and I are gonna mull over this, and then we're gonna hear another pitch on the second half of the show, and you're gonna find out where you stand in this one, because we're gonna place an investment in one of the two of you. So best of luck to you. Let me know how we can ever be assistant and help you out, and of course, good luck on your campaign.
Hey, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, Mead. Thanks.
Thanks, Mead.
Bye.
Take care. All righty. Well, Matt, we're going to catch up on this one after the break. Radio's full of breaks, so we got to take ours. Somebody's got to pay the bills around here because it certainly isn't me. I am Scott Catoon. This is Matt Lizatter. You've been listening to the Startup Showcase on WGN Radio AM 720. We will be back after this.
I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business. He make a lot of moves.
Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and you're listening to WGN Radio AM 720 with good buddy Kelly Drywarren, partner Matt Lizatter. We had a chance to listen to Microtech pitch. I'm intrigued in anything that's in sort of the energy space just because the sheer volume and the amount of money that takes place in that industry. It's always worth at least taking a look at. What are your first impressions on that?
So my first impression is this is solving a problem. I mean, he's identified and quantified an industry issue, which is the oil leaks, right? That comes off the pipelines, and with the Keystone pipeline leak of 210,000 gallons, that's going to make the news. I think that even if you quantify sort of the dollars lost off the pipelines, I think that the other thing that's hard to quantify is the reputational damage that's done to these companies when there is a leak. So even if they've factored into, we're going to have 93 leaks a year and it's going to cost us this much money, I think that there is that responsibility to the public that the companies want to show that we're out there and we're trying to protect against leaks. And although we're not going to be perfect, we're going after the latest technology. And I think one of the questions is, for this company, do they have something novel? He said they got 6 patents in the works. Is that going to be an industry changer here?
So I want to tell you two different things. This is kind of to you, and not that you don't already know these things, but also to the listener. I think I love things like this because it's very hot. It's very I don't know what the right word is. It's very smart. There's a lot of different components here, and it's a good educational moment, I think, for most people, because the reality is, when you're looking at an investment, you want to look at what's the upside. I like to look at a few factors. I call it ribs, but there's a few factors I look for. One of them is is it inevitable? Is somebody going to do this? Is somebody going to make this change? Does the founder look is it relevant? Does that person's expertise look relevant? Does that look like a person who should be in the chair that's going to solve this problem?
I think Mead fits that bill.
Yeah. I thought Mead fits that bill. I think that this is going to happen one way or the other. There's going to be improvements in the line. Whether or not this is the solution or they use something else is sort of my big question mark. And that's sort of, as an investor, you got to dictate and determine whether or not it's worth the risk. A couple $100, is it worth the risk that maybe he does something big? Yeah, why not? I guess for me, that's what I was looking at. I'll look at his deck, which is on our Facebook page now, to learn all the meat and potatoes. But my first impression off of listening is that he checked most of the boxes for what I thought was a legitimate opportunity to do something. Whether or not it's the thing or not, I don't know, but he checked the boxes on this sounded right.
I think that's spot on right there. I mean, I think my big question is this is not a new problem for the industry.
Oh, for sure.
They're dealing with it. You know, they've been using satellite monitoring. We know that companies like Shell have been experimenting with IoT on pipeline monitoring in Nigeria. Pacific Gas and Electric has been doing some projects around this area too. I think that the question is this the technology that everyone's going to latch onto? And not that everyone needs to latch onto it. I think that they're looking to capture 5% of the market. I think that's doable. I think that when you look at the number of smaller pipeline companies out there, refining companies that have miles of pipeline, that this is something that's going to resonate with them, and that if this product is as durable as made it sound, and that it stands up, and you've got sort of that network there where these devices can communicate to each other. And I know on their pitch deck or whatever, I saw they want to add drones into it. They want to have this. I'm thinking, one of the big questions is going to be, what network is this going to run off of? And is that going to be, reliable, efficient, not, cellular? Are we talking about, getting away from the traditional satellite stuff?
Yeah.
I think that there's some hurdles to overcome, but I think they're on the right path. I mean, they've got a great idea, good expertise, and an industry.
I agree with that. I think the thing I liked there was it has that sort of IT development company sort of approach to it. There's a lot of moving parts, but they're contained, if that makes any sense. So after that very thick, full company, we're gonna shift over now to our next pitch. Shiva Kashakar is gonna pitch us now on Green Pinata Toys. I'm excited to learn this and sort of learn what it is and how it works and stuff like that. So Shiva, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, good afternoon, Scott.
Awesome.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Awesome. So why don't we have you, we're gonna give you 3 minutes starting in about 10 seconds to pitch what Green Pinata is and does and how it affects the world. And then we're going to ask you a couple questions and sort of figure out whether or not we should throw some money in you. What I want to make sure and preface to everyone who's listening on the radio right now is I just posted to our Facebook page at Technori. Green Pinata Toys is, you can invest in them as well on Republic. So go ahead and register at republic.co and you go /green-pinata and you can invest live in this company right now with us along the show. So without further ado, give us your 3-minute pitch.
Nope. Okay. So in 2017 alone, U.S. families spent about $20 billion on toys. And for ages under five, we parents in the U.S. spent about $5 billion. However, in such young age group, kids do not play with more than half of the toys their parents and families get for them. And there are two reasons for it. One, 90% of our brain develops within the first 5 years of our life, which means kids are growing up really fast and they're outgrowing toys really fast. And the second thing is, we simply cannot guess what these little kids are going to like and not like. So what happens is kids don't play with more than half of the toys, which means billions of dollars are going waste every year. And these toys are gathering up dust and cluttering up our home. So Green Pinata Toys is here to solve this problem. We are disrupting the way parents shop for toys. And we are doing this in two ways. One is we are combining human expertise. We work with top educational specialists, and they have developed our own proprietary toy curriculum, which determines what toys are good for what age. And what we do that is we combine it with individual preferences of a child's likes and dislikes, what milestone a particular family want to track for that particular child, which means we are giving personalized curation for every child every month. That is taking the mystery out of toy shopping for the parents. And the second way that we are solving it is this is a subscription service. And we carefully pick our toys. These are very expensive, wooden, open-ended toys. And we ship up to four toys to families. And their kids play with the toys for as long as they want, say, typically up to a month. And the parents get to keep the toys, that is, you know, buy the toys their kids can't part with. And then they can return the toys the kids have outgrown, which means, you know, they save money, they reduce clutter, they're not stuck with toys their kids have outgrown. So this is what is Green Pinata Toys. And we launched it in 2015, and we have seen great traction in the first 2 years now. And right now we have done a round of angel funding, and now we have launched this equity crowdfunding, and we are on to becoming a $55 million company in the next 5 years.
Great job. Before we get into the questions, I want to give you the opportunity to let everybody know where they can invest in this and how do they learn more and get involved. You mentioned that Republic, obviously, they can learn more. Give us the exact how do we do this.
Absolutely. So go on to republic.co/green-pinata, Green Pinata, and there's just a blue button there. Click on invest, and it's very simple. The minimum amount of investment is $25, and you can invest up to $25,000. And the campaign runs for the next 10 days, and this is your chance to invest in this highly growing company.
Okay, Q&A time. Matt has children.
So, I do.
So this is a good place for you, but I have to say, this is going to be kind of funny or sound funny to you, maybe not to you, Shiva, as much as, as people listening, I hope. I don't have any kids that I know of, and the friends of mine who do have kids laughingly await what will come when it's birthday time for me. I pick out like stuff that Scott would want now at 33 or whatever I am, like what I would have wanted.
Scott, it doesn't change. I buy my kids Hot Wheels, I buy my kids Legos, I buy them the stuff that I want to play with.
Is that still cool stuff though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess, so like to me, like I actually get this problem because most of my friends are usually assuming that like I've bought at least a half dozen or so like actual gifts for kids, like first gift and birthday, five-year-old birthday, whatever. And I just buy stuff that I think is really novel and cool. But I always find out that like I'm either too old for like the stuff is too old appropriate for them or way too young. I'm never like right in line. So I can see this being a problem. What are some questions that and things that you see with Green Pinata as a positive and maybe negative or whatever?
So I you know, in looking at the toys I have on there, I I actually felt pretty good because I have some of those toys in a toy bin for my kids at home. I like the toys. I like the selection that they have on there. I think
I want to mention while you said that, because you just brought this up. People may not know this. There's actual perks. So if you make investments on here, it looks like a $100 investment gets you a $25 Green Pinata gift subscription. So like people,
and
if you want
a T-shirt,
T-shirt. Yeah. So if you want to. Just to learn more about the stuff, you can actually make certain, go to the website and republic.co green-pinata, and you can actually see, you can get actual product from them first to check it out, which is kind of cool. So you were saying.
So I think this is solving a problem parents have. I mean, you have, you know, toy clutter, you spend all these, the toys that are offered through Green Pinata are not the cheapest toys out there. Yep. I mean, I brought up Hot Wheels and Legos, but I think that you know, these are the wooden ones, and I understand that the market they're going after is 0 to 5 years old, which is great. I mean, that is where the kids are going through these toys. The only concern that I have is sort of looking at this from the investor's standpoint, and maybe Shiva can answer how she addresses this, is sort of, you know, they have to have pretty, I'm going to guess their margins are pretty thin here because it takes a lot of time. And I've had friends that have had toy businesses before, and they spend a lot of time selecting the toys that they are even going to, you know, sort of plug into this algorithm to be selected.
Yep.
The one problem that I've run into as a parent too is looking at some of these European and American, you know, organic toy brands, you know, things like Hobbit that are known for having really high quality toys, is that increasingly as they've grown, they're manufacturing more stuff in China, and there's, you know, sometimes I'm not as comfortable buying a painted toy that's been made in China.
Yes, I would understand that. Shiva, can you speak a little bit to that process?
Absolutely. So first, let's talk about the margin point, right? So that is something we have really nailed it. How is the niche, the target market that we are targeting is this niche millennial parents, right? These are people who buy organic, they shop in Whole Foods, and this is the target market that every single organic brands out there want to target. And, you know, most of them are not present in Target, they're not present in Walmart, so they're all really struggling to get in front of this market to have their diaper samples or their sunscreen, you know, samples to be given. But what happens to Green Pinata Toys is we have become this lifestyle brand that gets into these millennial parents' front door every single month, right? Because this is the way they do playtime, right? So we are shipping them boxes every month, and our box itself has become a fantastic marketing platform. What we call as this, you know, we have this additional revenue source called promotional placement revenue. So we work with these other organic brands, and those brands are paying us money to put in a sample in this particular box. Say, for example, on Facebook, if this brand has to market them, just for somebody to click on their website, they have to spend about, you know, $20-$30. However, if we charge them $10 to $20, and they can put the sample right in there in our box. So that is a very lucrative revenue source that is addressing this margin issue that we talked about. So our margins are, you know, about 45 to 50%, which is a huge margin percentage for a retail subscription service. So that's how we tackle that, right? And the second point about Hape, so we really selectively work with our manufacturers, and we make sure they source their wood in a very sustainable manner. Hape, for example, the founder and CEO of Hape 30 years ago, he's basically from Germany, and he moved his entire family with his kids to China. Why he did that? He wanted to start his own manufacturing plant in China, making sure their paint is water-based, you know, plant-based paint, no toxins where, you know, whatsoever, and also making sure, you know, the labor that they employ, they are well paid and everything. So that's the approach Hape took. Even though Hape toys are made in China, it's the manufacturing plant that they own, and the CEO is right there. And I have spoken to him. I have interviewed him. It's amazing the way they have built their brand and company. And it's the same thing with Haba. Too. Haba manufactures their toys right there in Germany itself. That's why they are much more expensive. And we work with them directly. And there is one other company, Plant Toys. It's a California-based company, and we work with them. So we have made sure our manufacturers, you know, really solve that issue, and they're not one of those gimmicky China toxin product at all.
Very cool. Well, we have to take a break on here. Shiva, I appreciate you making the call and pitch, and then if those of you listening stick with us here, we're going to come back in the final segment, final 5 minutes, and Matt and I are going to wrap up and make our pick. Good luck, Shiva. The best of luck to you in your journey building this company out, and please, of course, let us know if there's anything else we can ever do to help you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and it's a pleasure to be on air here, and appreciate it.
Of course. Anytime. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Alrighty. You're listening to WGN Radio AM 720. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is Matt Luzzatto. We're doing a little startup showcase for you. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, here at WGN Radio on a really sunny yet cold Chicago day. We've heard from two companies, Matt Luzzatto is joining me, partner at Kelly Dry Warren Law Firm here in Chicago. You have heard two founders pitching, Mead Lewis with Microtech. And we've now heard from Green Pinata, and I want to know sort of your reasoning on this a little bit. We only have like 4 minutes, but your reasoning on choosing which one you think we should invest in and how much.
So we've got Microtech, right? A pipeline monitoring service on one side, and we've got the basically rent the runway for toys on the other.
Good call.
So, you know, I would build this as the pipeline versus playtime battle here.
Do you have some radio experience?
Maybe.
I think you do. I think you do.
So I like both these companies, and I think that they are so different that you know it is difficult to choose. So looking at it's sort of what I think about Microtech, I think that they've got some challenges in terms of breaking into this market. There's going to be some legacy technologies out there with pipeline monitoring, but Internet of Things is hot. I know that companies like Shell and Pacific Gas and Energy. I may have said that wrong, is working on similar solutions. I think if they can capture that 5% of the market that they're shooting for, that this is going to be it. You know, they've got durable devices and good connectivity, and that back end data analytics is key. You know what are they actually going to be able to prevent leaks to that 96%
That's the thing that's the attraction / challenge for me in this one. When I look at the pipeline one, Microtech, I love it. I love the space. That's one of those spaces. There's always going to be a need. There's always things there. The thing that I liked about that is the scalability, given that it's artificial intelligence. It's not hiring. I'm not giving you money to raise some capital and then you hire 55 people and they do whatever. Like, I like companies where we need to refine and clean up the front end infrastructure and tech. We need to make sure that we have money to test our product out, but then everything else after that is machine learning and sort of improves itself over time. That's attractive to me.
So where I fall on it, because this is an industry I know nothing about. I mean, I've learned a lot over the past, 24 hours.
Which is the most fun part of this. This is what I was telling you. This is so fun because I get to like learn about investment opportunities that I would never come across.
Did you know they fix pipelines and monitor pipelines using some kind of a smart pig that they put this little robot called a pig in a pipeline and it squeals?
And kind of like that lobster from Lobstergram. Like,
yeah, during the break we were talking about Lobstergram and if lobsters squeal or not. But yeah, so it squeals and it like uses like sonar to detect leaks, and then it can even weld and repair stuff inside the pipeline. I thought that was pretty. So I've learned a lot about it. Do I know enough to say, I'd put a ton of money into this business venture? No, but I think I'm there.
I have $100 to spend. We don't have a sponsor for this yet. Knock on. Hey, any sponsors out there listening, if you want to get involved in this, now's a good time. But I don't have a sponsor. I have $100 I'm going to put on mine. If you want to put your own money, you can do that. Tagnori's putting a hundo in. Where would you, if it was up to you, where would you allocate money?
I would say that I would put $100 in on Microtech, on the pipeline stuff. Now, that said, I'd put 50 in and possibly subscribe a friend. My youngest is 5, so okay. I'm sort of outside of their range on Green Pinata. And the thing I like about Green Pinata, and I really liked her answer on the margins, and I did notice this in their pitch materials, is they're making money off of doing promo revenues for these toys, which is key. I mean, that's great. It covers their time. They need to research this stuff out, and they've got a hyper focus on the millennials. I was just in Whole Foods the other day, maybe it was right before Christmas, and there's this giant Melissa and Doug display, and those companies know who they need to go after.
Yeah.
and millennials are using these subscription services like
that's yeah the subscription know, part of that and the green part of that is definitely attractive. So okay, all
so
right,
that's where I'm 50 in on it.
You're 50
I
in
may
on
not
that
get
one.
The t-shirt that comes with $100 level, but yeah. The consolation prize is my first friend that has a kid, I'm going to subscribe into that.
There is some money involved. Well, very cool. I think I will join in on that, and you'll see the post go up on Facebook here very shortly. You have hopefully had a good time in learning with Matt and I throughout this show here. The Startup Showcase is going to come to a close for this week.